And if you're not, you're going to have to forgive me for the next few minutes, because this is in part sermon, but this is also in part a bit of a therapy session for me. Now, my secondary school used to love playing rugby, and being slightly northern, you'd expect them to play rugby league, but they played, thinking they're a bit posher, they played rugby union, which was fine. We quite enjoyed it. I quite enjoyed playing it, and being reasonably tall, I got to play on the second row, so I was in between two rather warm props in the scrum, which was fine, and it was all an enjoyable experience. But our school was quite large. There was over 1,000 boys at this boys' school. So we had quite a few teams. We had first, seconds, and third teams. And of course, as you'd expect, everybody wanted to play for the first team. But no matter how much I practiced and played, I never managed to break into the first team at school. There were always a few other players who were slightly better at me in my position, and they always ended up putting me on the second team. Now, I enjoyed playing, but it was very different than playing on the first team. There were different expectations if you're in the seconds. No one had much hope that the second team or even the third team would produce anything particularly outstanding. There wasn't the same pressure to win everything, just to do your best, and any real achievements were seen as a bonus. I don't know if any of you have had any similar experiences to this. I'm sure you were all first picks for the first team. And if you were, I'd appreciate it if you didn't tell me after the service, because I don't really want to hear about it. But this is an experience that I'm sure you can all sympathise in some small way. And I think my rugby experience is a little bit similar to this story that we have here in Acts. The first team, the Jewish Christians, have been playing together for a while, winning matches and growing in numbers and supporters. Even some of their most active enemies, like Saul, had changed their sides and were playing along with them, and it was all going reasonably well. But in the start of this chapter, something strange is beginning to happen. God comes and he speaks to Peter in a vision, and he starts to change the rules of their game dramatically. God gives Peter a vision of a blanket covered with food, lots of food that Peter, as a Jew, couldn't eat. And living by the observation that a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, God shows that all the food that Peter had been brought up to think was unclean, he could eat. And Peter was quite confused about this. I know if God wanted to speak to me, then food would be a real way to go. And this vision has a major impact on Peter. How could God ask Peter to eat all the things that his faith had told him were wrong? But God did. And God asked him to do it 3 times. And so as Peter sat there wondering about what this vision means, he gets a message that someone really very important wants to come and meet him. Now, Cornelius was not a Jew, as we've seen from the drama. He was a Gentile. He was a non-Jew. And Jews and Gentiles weren't really allowed to mix. And not only was Cornelius not a Jew, he was also a Roman centurion. He was part of the Roman Empire responsible for taxing and dominating the Jewish people. And to top it all, the servants who came with his message to Peter were claiming that this Roman centurion, this Gentile, was claiming that he was a God-fearing and righteous man. But since Peter had just had this amazing vision and his horizons were broadening a bit, he goes off to visit Cornelius with a bunch of other Jewish Christians. Now, I want you to imagine you're one of those Jewish Christians. You're going along with Peter. Maybe you're going to protect him in case this is a bit of a Roman trap, that they're going to get this guy along pretending they want to talk to him about Jesus, and they're going to kill him or take him to prison. So maybe you're going as protection, or maybe you're going because you've never seen a Roman that claims to be a righteous and God-fearing man, and you're just a bit interested in what he's going to look like. Or perhaps you're a bit worried that Peter's gone all a bit liberal, that he's talking about all these associating with Gentiles and maybe reading the Guardian and eating pigs and birds and all these things which you know as a Jew are wrong. Well, whatever your reasons are, you follow him along. You go along with Peter and you start to see him saying the good news of Jesus to this Roman centurion and his families. And to your surprise, these people are really listening to Peter and they're agreeing with what he's saying. And all of a sudden, it looks like there's a new second team in the picture. The non-Jewish team has arrived on the pitch. So maybe you're thinking, okay, I can deal with this. God is merciful and he's welcoming and he wants everyone to be part of his family. And it's new to you, but that's okay. And if you're really clever, you might have thought back through the scriptures to all the other non-Jews who were involved in God's stories. Maybe to Ruth or Rahab or Naaman, all people that God used who weren't Jews. There have been hints of this for a long time. And perhaps it might be a bit of a welcome help to have a second team. Maybe they could do all the basic jobs, all the jobs you didn't really want to do. But surely that's all they were. They were the second team. They couldn't be as good as the original Christians, because only a few chapters ago, God had come down and shown exactly how important the Jewish Christians were. He'd sent his Holy Spirit down to them on Pentecost to show them how special they were. And then, just as you're thinking that, it happens. As Peter is speaking to Cornelius and his family, we see a repeat of the amazing Pentecost story. These Gentile Christians are treated exactly the same as the Jewish ones. They receive exactly the same gifts that they'd received recently. God takes all the hints and all the past messages in the Old Testament and he blows them up into huge, big neon lights so that everyone knows that no one is outside of God's grasp. Now, I don't think many of us here would have a particular problem thinking that God accepts only Jews and not Gentiles. In fact, this story is the reason we're here today. People from all sorts of cultures and all sorts of countries, a mix of the world worshipping God together. And here in 2008, we get the privilege of sitting back and chuckling to ourselves at how short-sighted those early Christians were, not to see Jesus' message was for the whole earth, for all people. But maybe that's not quite the case, because the sad fact is, and I know for myself, there are quite a few people that, if I'm honest, I honestly don't think that God's news is for. We can sit here today and we can say that the message of Jesus is for everybody. And it's something we definitely truly believe. Or are there some people, in all honesty, we don't think are quite up for God picking for his team? Perhaps we see governments or leaders of other countries who seem so far away from God's way of living that there's no hope. Or maybe famous atheists that we really think have made their minds up already and are never going to change. Or more probably, we see people in our school or in our offices every day. And you know God welcomes everybody, but surely not the angry guy in the office next to you. And maybe not the scary kid who for the whole year has never said a nice word to you. Because those people just aren't first team material. But like Peter, I think we need to go through a two-step process. We need to read about this amazing vision that God gave him, that nothing is unclean. And we need to understand in our heads that God isn't restricted by culture or behavior or anything else. But sometimes we also need to take that understanding from our heads and really believe it in our hearts. Really believe that it's possible. And not only possible, but it's happening all the time. Peter started to get it when he saw this vision of food. But it wasn't until he's standing in front of Cornelius and he sees the faith that he has that he really gets it. Once Peter realized and really believed that God was reaching out to all people, that's when amazing things started to happen. And I believe in this passage, there's a challenge to think about the people that we pray to and pray for and talk to and live with that are not just include the ones that we have like God conversations with or those people who we think, oh, they're such nice people. They must almost be Christians. But we need to grab onto the hope that we have. The story of Cornelius gives us. God was working in Cornelius' life long before Peter got up and wandered over to see him. And Peter was willing to go to the most unlikely of people and talk about the God he believed in. And just as Peter really believed when he got to see a real example, I think we need to share stories amongst us, real examples of our own lives and real examples of people that we know, people who God have reached out to encourage us. I grew up in a church that really loved testimonies. At any drop of a hat, someone would get up and talk about what God was doing. Sometimes they were amazing things, sometimes they were quite simple things. But they didn't do it because they thought they were so special or because they were first team material. But because those stories showed how gracious and powerful God was, enough to speak to the most unexpected people. And it's something which I think when we get together to pray in a little bit, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to pray that Jesus is Lord all around the world and all around the earth. And as you go through this week, I want you to ask God to put on your heart maybe a name or a picture of someone who maybe you thought is far off from God and could never play on the same team as you. And I want you to ask God to be working in their lives. But I want you to also ask for an opportunity to speak to them and get to know them more. And I also would like you to ask God to remind you of your own story of how you came to faith. And maybe some of the other stories you've heard or read about of people to encourage you so that you can end up saying like Peter did in verse 34 when he said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts every man who fears him from every nation to do what is right. Amen.